afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO, and you have arrived at the one place on your internet dial where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Today's show is sponsored by the Handmade Beauty Network. Visit handmadebeauty.com, where you can discover all kinds of companies across the country and even some of them around the world who can provide you with independently manufactured beauty products like the sugar scrubs and pedicure scrubs and body washes and facial scrubs and everything you need to be beautiful all year long. That's at handmadebeauty.com. Visit today, find some great new products that you cannot buy on the commercial shelves. Well, everyone, we are into October. The fall is here. The air is crisp. And you know me, I like to provide encouraging and inspiring information whenever I can. And I read something over the last few weeks that just pumped me up about small business and the possibilities if you put your mind to it. Have you guys heard of a company called Jibbitz? If you haven't, you need to check them out. If you need a dose of information, you need to know about a couple in Colorado who about a year ago, you guys, started tinkering in their basement with a product kind of to entertain their children. They have three children, and they fell in love with the shoe that is the rage today called the Croc. That's C-R-O-C, and if you're interested, if you don't know what they are, you can visit croc.com and check it out. They come in a wide range of colors. They make them for toddlers. They make them for adults. You can choose your color, choose your Croc. Well, this couple in Colorado a year ago in 2005 decided to make some charms to put in the holes that you see on the Croc shoe. And these charms were designed by their children, and you just basically press the charm into the hole in the Croc, and you kind of can decorate your Croc. Well, after a couple of months, they had about $200,000 in sales every month. And after about 6 or 7 months, they were grossing $2 million in sales. And naturally, the Croc company took notice, and last week purchased them for $10 million cash, plus a $10 million payout over time as the company grows. The founders, the husband and wife team founders in Colorado who built the business, actually started the business with the idea from the very beginning that the Croc company would purchase it. And along the way, they say they've had a lot of fun, and they've enjoyed themselves immensely, and their plan worked. And it is amazing to me that in just that short period of time, they were able to grow that company to the point where it could be purchased for a total of $20 million. And the owners still have some interest in the company. They are staying on as the two officers. I think the chief design officer and another executive position the husband is taking. And they are just off to the races with this business. So I mention that to say that there is more than one way to skin a cat and build a business. They started with an idea in the very beginning that another company that could have more resources than them but also had an interest in doing what they were doing would one day come along and purchase their business, and that is exactly what has happened. So if you're interested in reading a little bit more about it, you can visit Jibbitz, J-I-B-B-I-T-Z.com, and I think there's a recent press release there. The sale took place last week on October 3rd. Congratulations to the Colorado company, Sherry and her husband, Sherry Smeltzer and her husband, I think his name is Rick Rich. Really great job. So if you've got an idea and you can position your business properly, this could happen to you. There's no reason why it can't happen to you. Between Sherry, her husband, and their three children, they own at least 12 pairs of these shoes. So you can see that their heart was really into this, and they found a great way to amuse their children in the basement and create a legacy for them as well. And that's what we are all about here at the Lifestyle CEO Show. I want you guys to know that today's guest is Jill McKean. She is a professional organizer. And she is going to be on in a little bit, because she's not joining immediately, but she's going to be on in a little bit to talk with us about the importance of organizing to the success of your small business. Jill is an expert not only at organizing in general, but her specific focus is helping small business owners and the self-employed to create an organized environment where their businesses can grow and thrive. And naturally, if that happens, then your families and your lives as business owners will also grow and thrive. So Jill will be joining us after our first break. I want you guys to know we're going to be firing up the listener calls. If you have comments, questions at all, you can call them in now, or you can wait till Jill joins us. The telephone number is 800-773-0355. I found something interesting in the paper today. There's a story about, in the USA Today, about entrepreneurs and leaders who are heading up various companies around the country and whether or not they were spanked when they were children. Now, I have been getting some emails and a couple of, email inquiries and even a few tongue lashings, if I may, through the Internet about a story that Newsweek did on spanking, and they featured me in an experience that I had with my daughter and the first time I spanked her. That you can, if you're interested in seeing that story, you can visit lifestyleceo.com and click on the press page. There's a link to it there. But I just thought it was really interesting that some reporter at USA Today thought it was an interesting question to ask executives and leaders whether they were spanked when they were children. And most of them said that they were, but interestingly, none of them attributed their success in business to having been spanked. And it looks like the upshot of this is that even though these successful people were spanked, they don't think it helped, and they don't necessarily think it hurt. I thought that was a really interesting story, though. You can check it out today at usatoday.com in the business section, and you can also, of course, pick it up at your local store where you shop for your media materials. The USA Today also reports today that small businesses are gaining ground in overall employment in the United States. That's no real news for us, who are small business owners and may have some employees in our company. But the interesting thing, and in some ways the sign of the times, is the mention of the fact that most of these small businesses are not able to offer health insurance to their employees because it costs so much money. So there you go, guys. No matter where you work, large or small, we are all being squeezed by this healthcare crisis. There are increasingly smaller and smaller numbers of ways, or fewer and fewer numbers of ways, to provide this kind of health insurance for our families. And during this open season enrollment time frame, I've been spending some time at ehealthinsurance.com, which is a really useful resource that you can use to compare health insurance programs if you are in a position to have to cover your own health insurance, either because you're a small business owner or because your employer where you're working does not provide coverage for you. Take a look at ehealthinsurance.com. There's a lot of helpful information there to get you on the right track in terms of finding health insurance for you and your family. We are going to move to our first break. I want you guys to know that Jill McKean is going to be joining us after this break. She's going to help us get our lives together and get organized. You can call your questions or comments in to Jill at 800-773-0355. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. and GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, but guess what? We have got not one, but two guests on the call today, and I'm very excited. Of course, you guys all, most of you know Lisa Price from Carol's Daughter through her membership in the Handmade Beauty Network and some work that Lisa and I have done together giving a workshop in New York City earlier this year. Lisa has joined us to talk a little bit about the explosive and exciting recent growth in her business, as well as a little bit about how her organization skills have helped her to grow her business and keep it successful. We also have Jill McKean, a professional organizer who started her business Organize It in 2004. Previously, she was a financial analyst with a large professional service firm with over 20 years of experience working in business. Jill's specialty is not just in organization, but in helping small business owners and the self-employed to get themselves together, get themselves organized, and get on with making their businesses and their lives a success. She's going to give us some of her best tips and hints today to do that. And I'm so excited to welcome both Lisa Price and Jill McKean to the Lifestyle CEO Show today.
Hi.
Hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hi. That's where you go, hey, Donna Maria.
Hey, Donna Maria.
Okay, there we go. That's Lisa's voice. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm great.
You have some exciting news that maybe some of the listeners don't know about. Where are your products in now that they weren't last year?
Sephora.
Tell us a little bit about that. That's really exciting news. And for people who don't know what Sephora is, tell them what that is, too, and where they can go to buy them.
Well, Sephora is a beauty emporium that's in most malls. It's got fragrance and body care products, makeup and the like. It's a great big candy store full of beauty. You can find them at Sephora.com, and our products are in 35 Sephora doors currently, and we'll be expanding to about 75 next year in the spring.
Okay, well, congratulations on that, and I know you guys all know about Lisa Price and her success story and her book, Success Never Smelled So Sweet. And, I shared a little bit before you guys joined the show today about the company in Colorado called Jibbitz. Jibbitz started out a year ago making little beaded designs to put into the holes on the top of Croc shoes. And Crocs are, of course, the wildly popular sort of plastic shoes that come in a million different colors and all different sizes. And, they look kind of like clogs with a strap on the back.
Yeah, we've got lots of Crocs in our house.
Oh, okay, so you know what they are. Well, I don't know if you have any Jibbitzes or not, but the Jibbitzes are the little beaded type of accessory that this company called Jibbitz in Colorado, a husband and wife team, started last year out of kind of a fun thing to do with their kids. But when they actually made it a business, they actually positioned the business over the 12 months that they were operating up until last week to be bought by the Croc Company. And last week, sure enough, they announced that that company had purchased them for a total of $20 million, $10 million in cash, plus $10 million, paid out over time as the business grows. And
wow.
I couldn't help, Lisa, but think about you when I read that, because, they started their business in their basement. You started yours in your kitchen. You've got kids. I'm sure from time to time, they were trying to figure out how to stir the shea butter. And all that stuff. And I'm thinking, is there nothing that you can't do, Lisa, when you really set your mind to it? I think you guys make really interesting stories.
The Jibbitz story sounds really great. to have done that in a year. But I think part of it is when you're doing what it is that you're supposed to do and you're living your life on purpose, things work out the way that they're supposed to work out. And for Jibbitz, it's a $20 million deal after a year. You know, and for Carol's daughter, it's an infusion of capital after 13 years. And, you know, for someone else, it's going to be a different story. But, you know, the thing is that if you don't get out there and try, you're not going to know which story is yours.
And there you go. You won't be living your story. And that's, I love that you said that. Thank you for sharing that. Everybody's story is different, but putting yourself out there is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lisa, I want to make sure that we tell everyone that you and I are going to be collaborating again this weekend on a workshop in New York and at the Open Center on the 14th.
Spring Street, yes, on Spring Street on the 14th in New York. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're right now, our attendance registration is not really where it should be, so if you're interested, please contact the New York Open Center and sign up for the class, because we'd hate to have to cancel. So we're looking for people that are interested in hearing what Donna Marie and I have to say about entrepreneurship and following your dreams and balancing your family life with your business life. Even if you're not in business yet and you just want to know, gee, what's going to happen if I decide to do this? What's going to happen if I, you know, put my toe in the water? Mm-hmm. Come on Saturday, but register, call the Open Center, and let them know you're interested.
Right, right. And I'm glad you mentioned that. We did this workshop earlier this year, and we literally had to bring extra chairs into the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
That was really kind of exciting. So we're hoping that we can pump up the registration. For anyone who's interested, you can call the Open Center at 212-219-2527. That's 212-219-2527. Or you can visit their website at opencenter.org, and you can click on, I think Lisa Price's name is right there on the homepage, and you can sign up for the workshop right there. Now, Lisa, we have an organization expert on the call today here with mm-hmm. us on the show, and I have to say I'm a little bit, I'm very excited to have her, but also as I'm looking around my office here, I'm thinking, gee, you know, I could probably use some of her services. So Lisa, I know you've got to run after our second segment. Can you share with us a little bit about how you managed to organize your life as a mother of two small children and a wife around this explosive and very fast growth of your business over the last 10 years?
Well, I've always been an organized person, thank God, because I don't know how I would have functioned without having been so. So for me, I'm not a person who can work in chaos. So therefore, things don't get too much out of control. Every now and then I have organized chaos where I have files that need to be organized and they're all together in a box. So it looks neat from the outside, but if you get inside the box, it's not really as neat as it should be. But, I mean, things like color coding, keeping things on the refrigerator to keep them top of mind, keeping my calendar up to date, unpacking and packing. You know, when I come back from a trip, I unpack immediately, no matter how tired I am. I've got to put everything away and get back to order. And even though it takes like that extra bit of energy at that moment, it keeps everything else after it flowing a bit better. I try to do things with the boys' lunches where I have the snacks prepared ahead of time in Ziploc bags in the refrigerator. So in the morning, it's just a matter of grabbing it out of the fridge with the juice box and then preparing the sandwich fresh. I use crock pots. And we'll slow cook a meal so that dinner is ready. I'll use the crock pot to have oatmeal ready in the morning. All little things like that are great time savers and are really, really important because it's a lot to juggle. Even if you don't have a business, you could be a stay-at-home mom, and it's still a lot to juggle. Our children
right.
have full social schedules. We have social schedules. We have business schedules, and it's a lot to keep together.
Yeah, you offered some really great tips, and I know, of course, we just relocated to another area of the country about 6 weeks ago, and we're still struggling to get ourselves a little bit on the organization track.
Mm-hmm.
I love the suitcase packing, no matter how tired you are. I've come back from an event, and then 2 or 3 months later had another one, opened up the suitcase. And, you know, there are those socks I was looking for. So I can really relate to that. Still, I'd love for you to join in on our conversation now. You're the expert here. And tell us a little bit about, you know, you've dealt with people from a professional perspective. What is it that makes it, I mean, everyone knows organization is important, but I know I'm not the only person who struggles with it. Have you noticed this, and why do you think that is?
Yes. Well, there are a number of reasons why some people struggle with organization and others don't. I just wanted to follow up on the comment that Lisa made. Clearly, she understands the process, that it's ready for action, taking the action, the follow-up that's needed, and then getting back to ready for action. And I think that's one very helpful thing for people to keep in mind, that it's always a process. And to be successful, you need to work through the process, including the follow-up and the preparation, to really feel on top of things.
Mm. Well, maybe some people are just intimidated by just that thought alone, that it's a process, that you never really arrive anywhere. I guess in small pieces you do, because you can organize certain things, but it's not something that you can do and then go, okay, great, I've done that, now on to the next thing.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Let me come at this from another angle. Often creative people have a struggle with organization, and I think that that clearly is speaking to entrepreneurs, because you have to have an idea in order to have a business, and so many entrepreneurs are creative.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to see the possibilities of everything and not necessarily see things in categories that then need to be organized.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, too, seeing it as a process and as a circular process, there's a flow to it. You know, when I work with clients, once they understand that, it starts to become more natural to them.
Mm-hmm. So when you work with people, what are some of the first things that you, like, if you come into an office environment, what are the types of things that you assess it for to see how you can best work with this person?
Right. Usually we find out right away, where are they feeling the most pain, you know, the most struggle, and what's really not working for them. And it definitely starts with the conversation before we even start working with the space or their time management issues. Usually, for most people, most small businesses, it is difficulty with paper management. And when I say that, I mean, very broadly speaking, any type of paper, whether it's files or magazines, professional journals, whatever it is, getting a sense that basically most paper in our lives has an expiration date. We use it for a period of time while it is useful to us,
mm-hmm.
and then at some point we can get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, not understanding that, the piles start piling up and we have just too much stuff in the office.
Mm-hmm. So you take a look around someone's workspace and kind of get a grip on where most of the problem is and then try and attack that first.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would imagine that, like you said, it's interesting that, you know, we live in such a technological age when email, I mean, I've known Lisa for so many years and communicated with her for the past two on a pretty regular basis. We have never, I don't think ever, unless we're actually seeing each other, exchanged a piece of paper.
Right.
And yet I do have printouts of some of our emails, just because a lot of it sometimes deals with scheduling or reimbursements for travel and things like that. And, you know, you're right. I'm looking around. I've got a file. It's right here. It's from a year ago, and I don't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, it's very interesting that you say that, because for some people, and I guess I'm one of them, We are kind of wedded to having that record. It's a piece of our lives. And do you help? Do you find yourself counseling people to kind of let some of that stuff go and not be pack rats like that?
Yes, you're right. Clearly, I think everyone struggles a little bit with being a pack rat. It's just maybe in different categories of our lives. Definitely, that's an issue even for the business end of things. It tends to be more of an issue in our personal lives. You know, we get connected to things, but even so, you know, we have landmarks and things happening in our businesses, and we want to somehow honor it or you know make it important to us by keeping something. But there might be other ways that we can honor the experience and with less stuff and not take up so much room.
Right, to honor the experience and still be able to throw the paper in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
That's what kind of where it belongs. Lisa, you probably noticed a huge transition between what you had to organize and what you didn't have to organize when your business underwent, you know, the transition that it did last year from actually having a home-based office to an office in a physical location. How did that change your life in terms of organization requirements?
Well, it made it actually a little bit easier because I was able to separate home from business. So I still have things that I have to organize. When I go into my office, it's one set of things. And when I'm in my home office, it's a different set of things. So the two don't get mixed together, which used to happen before, where you might accidentally put a business phone bill in with the personal phone bills and bank statements and things like that. So that part of it of not having to separate them is good because they're already separated by being in two different locations. There seems to be a bit more to organize in both places because on the home side, the children are older and the work that they're doing in school, there are things that they need to reference. I'm trying to help them organize their own work. And then at work, because the company is bigger and I'm traveling and I, you know, go to conferences and things like that, there's more contact information to keep organized, emails, travel itineraries. And just this week, I went and purchased an agenda because as much as I use the computer, I still like pen and paper. And I got one of those, you know, like Filofax type things. It's not a Filofax, but that type of thing, just so I can have my schedule on paper and look at it and be able to make changes. Because I was relying on the computer, and if it wasn't right in front of me, I'm relying on memory and forgetting things. So that has helped me to go back to pen and paper along with the computer.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for sharing that, Lisa. And you raised such an interesting point about keeping a separation between home life and business life, even when your business is located in your home. We're going to come back after our final break and talk with professional organizing expert Jill McKean about that. Lisa is going to go take care of some Carol's daughter business, among them preparing for her taping on the Tyra show coming up later on this week. We'll be looking for you then, Lisa.
Okay.
Have a great time. And
okay.
We'll be right back. This is the Lifestyle CEO.
Thank you.
Cut mouth. Thanks, Lisa.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the last segment of this week's Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and I am here with professional office organizer Jill McKean. And for those of you who want to visit Jill's website while we're here on the show today, you should tool on over to organizeit-now.com. That's organizeit-now.com, where you can find out all about Jill and sign up for her free report, Confessions of a Piler. That would be me. So I need to definitely get that report. And for those of you in the Connecticut area where Jill is located, you can learn about her adult education classes coming up later this month, 7 Steps to Productivity in the Office, another one called Want to Pare Down and Simplify Your Space. The answer for me is definitely yes, and she's got quite a bit of events coming up here to help you get organized. So, Jill, we want to make sure that everybody knows that they can call in and talk with you themselves on our toll-free number. Your questions or comments for Jill, the professional organizing expert, 800-773-0355. Jill, when we were in our last segment, when Lisa Price of Carol's Daughter was talking about the importance of keeping home stuff separate from business stuff, even when your business is located in your home, she touched upon a really important issue, and I know that all the Lifestyle CEO listeners out there who have businesses in their homes deal with this. What are some of the tips that you can offer for people to help them make that distinction so that they can, keep things separate to the extent they need to?
Great. Yeah, it's a very good point. What I often come across is that people have scattered their office materials or office functions in various places around the house. And what I encourage them to do is pick one place. And it's best if you can have a separate room in your home as your home office. Try to get those things off the kitchen counter as best you can. And just think in terms of, I'm going to the office, and that room is where I do my office work.
Okay. Okay, so, and you know, well, some people have, like, one computer that they do both things on. Now you can pay your personal bills online. You can pay your business bills online. You're online for your business all the time anyway. So what would you say to people who, you know, functionally work so much from a computer, can't afford two of them or maybe just don't want to invest in two unless they have to, and they're kind of required to have, an overlap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I think possibly putting a little office kit together. I also recommend to people to have, it's basically a file crate. People are probably familiar with those, but they come now in all kinds of shapes and sizes and colors. Again, in a sense, you've got a mobile office so that all those materials stay together. I'm thinking in particular of papers, of course. But if you need to go to where the computer is, you can just take that small file box or file crate with you and go and take care of the computer things that you need to do, which might be away from your normal office area.
Okay, so you're describing a situation where I guess it could go either way. You could either put your personal stuff in the crate or your business stuff in the crate, depending
right.
on what works best for you.
Yes.
Huh, that's an interesting idea. I bet that helps a lot of people. And so when you're talking with people about, you know, these kinds of suggestions, you mentioned an office kit. Is that what you meant by the crate? Is that the same thing?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so have you worked with people that that really, even though, you know, the same basic organizing tips and strategies can be used by a lot of people, have you worked with people who, for whatever reason, just really need to engage the services of someone to help them do this, even after working with you, that they really just need an assistant or something? Because I would imagine some people just aren't organized, but they need to be somehow. Do you often make that recommendation to some clients, depending on their situation?
Yes, I do. And actually, there are a couple of ways you could go with that. perhaps after working with the professional organizer, actually, I often encourage them to include in their package, their organizing package, some maintenance sessions, which might be, you know, a couple months out or maybe even 6 months out, so that I come back in and we kind of review where they are and you know, fix things up where things aren't working. But it is also true that, that sometimes people really need someone on a regular basis as an office assistant. And I know many entrepreneurs use either a virtual assistant or maybe have someone who just does the bookkeeping for them or someone who comes in once a week just to help, you know, follow up on orders or some of the office-type work.
Right, 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 because a virtual assistant can't really help with the piles of paper.
That's right.
Yeah, that's great. And so, you know, I would imagine some people who have a little bit more organization skills than what we're describing might be wondering, well, you know, why do I need a professional organizer? Why can't I read a book or just kind of make up my mind to do it and do it? What does a professional organizer help someone do?
Right. I think you've hit on a good point. I think, you know, basic organizing of space is actually pretty easy to do. I mean, there's some techniques and so forth. But organizing space is not the most difficult part. It's really understanding what are the habits and normal views, you know, how people look at things and how they interact with things. That's where the professional organizer can come in and uncover that, find out ways that can work for that individual and make their life easier through organization.
Okay, so you kind of have a little bit of a part of what you do is kind of assessing a person's a little bit of their personality and how they interact with the things around them. That's part of your part of the recommendation that you ultimately make.
Right, right. In fact, I can give you an example if you'd like. Mm-hmm. I worked with someone in the creative field. And she was very fortunate because she had adequate space for her office and her studio. So space was not an issue, which it often is with home-based businesses.
Right.
What she was struggling with, she wasn't quite at the point where she could hire an assistant. So her natural inclination was always towards the creative end of her business. But she realized she had to, on a regular basis, tackle those office tasks each day. And she, again, was fortunate. She had two computers. And so she set up one computer for her creative work in one corner of the room. And in another corner had another computer set up for the office tasks. And that's where her file drawers were and her hot files and so forth. And just by having these, what we call zones, it was a mental cue to her. Right. First thing in the morning, I go to my office area and work there until about 11 o'clock and get those loose ends tidied up, you know, following up with getting out photos to clients and so forth. She was a photographer. And then at 11, I will move over to the creative zone, and then I can just immerse myself in the creative end of the business, which is the part I love.
Oh, that is such a great example of what we're discussing, and it highlights what you mentioned before about how much of this is really mental.
Yes, very good point, Donna. Yeah, it is mental. It is how we perceive things, and often visual cues are really the most help to people. And I can give you examples of visual cues as well.
That would be great. I mean, I'm thinking about the one you just provided. I'd love to have another one, but I'm thinking about the visual cue of walking in to an office and how helpful it is for anyone, you know, all you lifestyle CEOs out there listening. I would imagine that just that one thing, kind of putting the creative stuff over here and the business paperwork stuff over here and separating them in that way, just that one thing. If you're, no matter where it is, it could be in your bedroom because you have a small home or an apartment and you're stressed for space. Mm-hmm. Just that one thing can help you feel more organized.
Yeah.
So give us another example. You mentioned you had another one.
Right. I'll give you a couple on visual cues. Often what I recommend to clients are what I call cue sheets. And this probably will be familiar to many of the listeners. A cue sheet is those routine and repetitive things you just start jotting down. For me, it's email passwords and logons. And I've got a sheet of them on a colored piece of paper, and I put it in a clear plastic sleeve. And I have it right near the computer so I can easily grab it and have that important information right at my fingertips.
A cue sheet. Okay. That's great.
And putting it on colored paper and in the clear plastic sleeve is a great way. Again, it's neat and tidy, maybe in a bright color, so you easily see it right at your desk and can grab it when you need it.
And that's better than doing what I've been doing, which is using Outlook to save my passwords, which seems to work, but every now and then, I have so many of those darn things, usernames,
right,
and passwords, that, I always end up looking at more than one saved electronic communication to find the one I'm looking for.
Right.
So putting them all in a piece of paper actually, too, does it. Gives them a place of honor, too, to put a yellow or a green or a purple piece of paper to them, put them in a sleeve, because if you think about it, that kind of information should have a place of honor in our businesses because it helps us to be productive and efficient.
Right, right.
So how do you, if someone wanted to engage your services or the services of a professional organizer, how does it work? What happens? Can you, and I guess another question probably some people will have, too, is, do you have to physically be with a person to be of assistance to them if you're a professional organizer?
The typical scenario is that, yes, a professional organizer comes on site and works with you to organize the space.
Mm-hmm.
There are some organizers who do provide services over the phone. I am certainly open to that, although I haven't had any clients. I haven't ever worked with clients in that way. If people are interested in engaging a professional organizer, certainly if they would like a referral, I would love to give them a referral. I know organizers across the country, and
right,
they can certainly email me or phone me, either one. But there is a national organization, and they can go right on that website.
Okay.
And that is,
you're a member of that organization, right? The National Association of Professional Organizers?
Yes.
Okay, is that NAPO, NAPO.org?
It's NAPO.net.
.net, okay.
Yes.
And, Jill, that brings up an interesting question that occurs to me. I don't know how old, how many years NAPO has been in existence, but I do find it really interesting that there seems to be a surge in these types of organization and these types of networking groups to help people get organized. What do you think about that? Just literally, it seems to me over the past 5 or 6 years, professional organizations have joined, there's certification now. What is it with people and difficulty being organized?
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that trend?
Yes, it certainly is a trend. And NAPO, just to mention, has been in existence for over 20 years.
Okay.
But there is a huge, huge growth just in the last few years.
Okay, then that's probably why. They've been around for a long time, but I'm hearing a whole lot more about them over the past 5 years than ever before.
Yes.
Why is that? Are people just, even with the help of technology, struggling just as much as ever with getting organized?
I think there are a number of reasons. Just as far as small businesses, there's just a growth in small businesses and home offices. And I think people are realizing, many come from a corporate situation where they have staff and assistants and systems and so forth. They get their office open in their home and, they're struggling with keeping it organized. Another factor is just, there are trends in our culture. We are very busy people, we've been consumers for a long time, and so we just have more things in the home and more activities in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. time to get rid of some of that stuff. I know I read a quote. I can only paraphrase it. It's just talking about, you know, how we acquire bigger and bigger houses for more stuff that we don't need.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's true. Yes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, with the help of people like you, Jill, you know, we can kind of get a grip on some of these things. Thank you so much for joining us. Jill McKean, professional office organizer. She's located in Connecticut, but as you heard, she can refer you to someone else or maybe even help you virtually with some tips, maybe a conference call or something to help you with some tips. She does offer consulting services. And to learn more about Jill and her services and the free talks that she offers in the Connecticut area, you can visit her website at organizeit-now.com, or you can give her a call at area code 203-431-6562. Thanks for joining us, Jill.
Thank you, Donna Maria.
I want to let you guys know that we have got some great shows coming up for you here during the fall this year. I mean, this is a real great time to get organized and start getting ready and get everything together for the next year, for 2007, which is not that far away. Next week, on October 16th, Linda Feinholt of Feinholt & Associates will be here to set some goals and get some things in place so that 2007 can start off with specific goals in mind and things that we need to do to reach them. On October 23rd, Kim Gordon, who is one of the experts for Entrepreneur Magazine on small business, she is going to be here. She's also the author of several books on small business ownership. She's going to give us some tips on that, specifically home-based businesses and how to keep them organized and how to market them and increase the bottom line. And Vicki, the Business Buddha, will be here on October the 30th. The Business Buddha claims that she can get your business up, launched, running, and ready to make money in 90 days. That's pretty good. We're going to talk with Vicki, the Business Buddha, about that. And I hope you guys have enjoyed today's show. I really hope that you'll take a look at perhaps coming to join Lisa Price and I at the Open Center in New York City this weekend. You can visit the website at opencenter.org to get more information and to sign up, or you can also give the Open Center a call at area code 212-219-2527 to learn more about the great Lifestyle CEO and Sweet Smell of Success workshop that Lisa and I are putting together for you this weekend. I really am so glad that you guys joined us today on the Lifestyle CEO Show. I hope you'll join next week to talk with Ms. Feingold about organizing businesses and setting goals for the next year. In the meantime, get out there and break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. This is Donna Maria signing off. See you next week, guys.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.